and start my life anew. Instead of having sweet dreams about you, you don't love me, it's plain.
Terrible Tommy, and there's one of the great queens of country music. And like it says in the song, if that ain't country, I'll kiss your ass. This is Terrible Tommy from the mud-swept turf of Southern California coming to you on Radio Hate, H-A-T-E. We hate our enemies and love our friends. And we're at P.O. Box 65. Fallbrook, California, 92088. And if you want to call in on our landline and leave a message, you can call 760-723-8996, and your comments may be on our next show. We get a tremendous amount of call-ins and people giving us information on that phone line, and what we do now is we do three news commentaries a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday in most cases. And that message is usually 15 to 20 minutes max. And you'll hear my opinionated Terrible Tommy comment, and you're free to accept it or reject it. And that's just too damn bad. If you don't like it, tune in one of these conservative right-wing preachers and listen to that shit a while, okay, and leave us alone. But I know we got lots of friends out there all over the world, and we just did a show with the BBC. They were with us for 3 or 4 weeks. I thought they'd never leave. They weren't there all the time, but they kept coming back, and they did hundreds of hours of tape. And And I know what they did when they got back to England. They cut every good piece out of the damn thing and made it as bad as they could. But we still got a tremendous amount of applause from our English comrades that can see through these Jew or Jew-like media masters. And that's why we'll do the show. Even though they're going to try everything they can to make us look bad, as long as we get the word out on race, I think we've done the job. And we always make new friends that way, no matter how bad the show supposedly was. But it's very difficult to do a documentary because they have so much time with you that, you know, any offhand remark you make, especially if it fits into their ideas, they'll put that right up front and cut out some other stuff that might be a little bit better. But that's the way it goes. You gotta play the percentages, man. If you've ever gambled, you know how you gotta play those percentages. Now, we haven't had a show on here for a while, a new show, and these are the new shows. As you can tell, I'm still under the weather just a little bit, and I haven't been able to do no karaoke lately, and that pisses me off big time. But I think I'm going to just step out there. I think on Sunday afternoon I'll go up to the casino. They got a karaoke there from 4 in the afternoon till 8 at night, and they got a great big amphitheater stage, and they put you on a big screen, 10-foot wide video screen, and there's hundreds of people, and I just go up there and sing my ass off, and if they don't like it, they can lump it. I'm working on a CD. Yes, I am. And we're going to get that DVD going and make it available to you people who like a little karaoke here and there. So stand by for that. And I think I hear Collenberg coming down the hall. Be quiet. Yeah. Yeah, he's coming. He's coming. Here he comes. You know, I forgot to tell you, I got an email from a skinhead. He said, are you going to come down here to this folks front get-together here in Phoenix coming up? And I said, that's last of January. I said, yep, I'm going to be there. He said, you ain't going to sing karaoke again, are you? Boy, when I find that guy, I'm going to kick his ass. Well, there's Dr. Collenberg. You just got in the studio. Did I hear you rummaging around down there on the third floor of the bunker with all those test tubes and the... Did I see you dragging in one of those permafrost animals or something, studying that old Viking stuff?
No, I got a copy of the new war paper.
Oh, that must have been one of our other guys down there studying those permafrost animals. Yeah, you are the guy to put that paper together.
Yes.
It looked pretty good. Tell us about it.
Well, I got a lot of text for the eggheads.
Yeah, 20 pages.
Oh, yeah, took all the ads out. Put bigger headlines in, and actually, I'm pretty impressed with myself.
Well, we're going to put a supplementary catalog out, and we're going to do it every other month.
Yeah.
And then that way we can keep it up to date on all the new tapes and all the new videos and all that kind of stuff.
And more room for articles.
But you can put your paper away on your shelf just like a book, because this is going to be all goodies.
Yeah, it's going to take you a while to read it.
Except you got your ad in there for the Pagan Revival.
That's true.
No, that's okay. We allow a little of that because Wyatt works real hard.
I got to ham it up somehow.
He works real hard on his paper, and I got to take it easy on him.
That's true.
Or he might kick my ass.
That's
true. Okay. What else is happening?
Oh, I saw, actually, I don't know if you made it or not, but you know this Gone in 60 Seconds? You know the original?
Mm-hmm.
With, what's his name, Toby Helicki?
Yeah.
I saw that. That's actually, you know, the acting is terrible. There's no plot. But, I mean, it is the best car wreck movie I've ever seen.
Wow.
Well, he eventually, Gone in 60 Seconds 2, he got killed in a thing because I guess a tower fell on him. But, I mean, that was an action-packed movie. Like I say, everything was terrible except the action.
So
the action
stunt
was great.
Man actually made the movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was a stuntman. He was a stuntman that made the movie with other stuntmen. Like I say, they can't act worth shit. But, I mean, for what it is, a car chase movie, it's the best thing I've ever seen. I mean, the wrecks and stuff, like, you know, he hit a Cadillac by accident, and he knocked down a telephone pole and took off, and they didn't even tell the police. Nobody figured out who did it, and they filmed it on Sundays, because Sundays none of the cops were out. You know, all the city workers, you know, were off on Sundays, so they could film it, all kinds of stuff. And they had a train wreck, so they decided to incorporate that into the movie. You know, there was a real train wreck and stuff, and it's a pretty good movie.
Well, hell, you know, it's interesting. You watched a big action movie like that. I saw a big action movie last night I never heard of.
What's that?
Rollerball.
Oh, that was great. When I was in high school, that was great.
I mean, the old Rollerball.
The new one's shitty.
They were over in Asia over the place.
Yeah.
Wow, man, that was action.
Oh, yeah. The new one's kind of crap. You know what another one is I've got it when I was in high school. It's called Death Race 2000 with David
Carradine. Yeah, you keep telling me about
that. That was such a great movie because, that's where you get points and stuff for running over handicapped people. They have these cars with razor blades and stuff
Death
in the wheels.
2000
with David Carradine. I think Sylvester Stallone's in it too. I think it was one of the first movies he made. But when I was in high school, I think it came out in like 74, 75 or something like that. I mean, that was a big thing. And then every time we would be driving around, we'd see like a handicap or something. We'd go, there's 10 points.
You
get 10 points because the thing is, it's a science fiction where the world's overpopulated and they have this death race where you go
that's
around.
That's not science fiction. That's reality.
You have this death race and you get, the drivers get points for how many people you can kill and stuff, and you get, you know, different points for cripples and stuff like that, and who gets the most points at the end of the race wins the race and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, there was only, there was this movie, Rollerball.
Mm-hmm.
The star was an Aryan.
Yeah, yeah.
A straight-out Aryan, yeah. Right? But there was one flaw in it. There was one nigger, was his buddy. Mm-hmm. He always have a nigger buddy.
Yeah.
But they got him killed pretty soon, you know. So
was that the old one or the new one?
This is the old one.
Oh,
well, I guess it's the old one. You remember that guy that played in that movie where he was a professional hitman and this little girl wanted to be?
Oh, that's the new one. That's not the old one. Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Isn't he a Frenchman?
Yeah, he played in the professional.
He
played the
bad guy?
Yeah, yeah, he was the hitman that buddied the little. Yeah, that's the new one. The old.
Are you talking about Rollerball with Paul Newman in it or something like that?
Yes, yeah. It's like in the 70s. That was a good one.
This was much better than that. This was international.
Yeah.
They played all these Asians.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I saw that one, too.
I think it was better. Yeah. I liked both of them.
Yeah.
But they were different kinds of deals, you know. It was really a worldwide sport, man, and it was going real good until the guy got—he was crooked. And
yeah, I think Rebecca Stamos or whatever name's in there.
I don't know.
Some model.
Yeah, beautiful gal, beautiful blue eyes.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah.
She was. Yeah. What else? What else is on the? I haven't even seen some of the new movies.
I know. I want to see the Lord of the Rings.
Cheaper by the Dozen, they say that's not that good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, that was too bad.
You know, it's too bad. The concept is good.
Oh, a whole bunch of white kids. I noticed there's not any darkies. Maybe that's why they hit it, you know, who attacked it, because a lot of times they have hidden motives.
You never know. Sometimes these reviewers pan a movie that I think is good.
You know that's the fat one on Siskel and Ebert? I guess it's Siskel and Roper now.
Yeah, the nigger lover?
Yeah, he's married to a nigger, so if you notice stuff, whenever there's something to promotes race mixing and stuff, he'll give it, like, you know, a thumb up, you know, that Human Strain, that really crappy movie, that he gave it a thumb up, you know, that one where the nigger pretends like to be in the Jew.
Oh, yeah. Anthony Hopkins?
Anthony Hopkins pretends to be a nigger who pretends to be a Jew, who's pretending to be a white guy. And he gave that such a flaming review and stuff. Everybody else was panning it, but the only reason he gave it a flaming review is because he's married to a nigger and it promotes race mixing, so he loved it, you know.
There was a guy, a writer in Canada, wrote an article.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was for Victoria or someplace. And that Michael Medved, who I don't have much use for, was on the radio. And he was calling in just tearing, you know, the...
Human Strain?
No, the ordeal about the, you know, the dwarves and all that.
Oh, yeah.
I can't keep that in my brain, the name of the...
You mean the Return of the Kings?
Yeah, right. He was just tearing it to pieces because it was racist.
Oh!
And I was all for it being racist because he said the darker they were, the more evil they
were.
He went on and on. And Michael Medved was trying to say, oh, no, there's no racism in the movie. But it can be whatever I want it to be. When I go to a movie, I can make the bad guy good, the good guy bad. I mean, you can imagine anything.
Well, the thing is, it's based on North Celtic and Germanic religion. In Celtic and Germanic religion, the black dwarfs and the black elves are the bad guys.
Yeah.
So, you know, he based it on the religion, and that's how the religion is. It's not like, you know, he pulled it out of his hat or anything. He was a student. The guy who wrote it was a student in, you know, Germanic and Celtic history, and he just based it on, you know, the legends and stuff like that. So, of course, it would be, you know, if you make it true to the form, you got to make it like a European story. You can't have a bunch of multiracial bullshit because the book isn't like that.
I was going to try to call in and say, you're right, man. That was racist as hell.
You know how the white elves are actually pure and good and stuff like that? That's also true. You know, the white elves are the good ones, and the black dwarfs are the bad ones.
And usually the babes are blonde.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Eyed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. You know, talk about growth in schools down in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
This was, I guess, down around Phoenix someplace, but they have a school. They built $60 million worth of schools in 36 months, he said. In 1998, Higley, this is a small town in Arizona, was still 175 students, one school elementary district. Today, Higley is a unified school district with more than 4,800 schools.
Whoa, that's a lot of Mexicans.
Four schools for students in kindergarten through eighth grade and high school. Now, guess who that is?
Mexicans.
It's Mexicans in, what's... 5 years, it went up like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I mean, I'm telling you, we're not just, it's not just slowly happening.
Oh, yeah.
This is Camp of the Saints.
Well, it's happening faster every day.
This Camp of the Saints.
The more of them come over, they get in power, and the politicians want to cater them, and then they just open doors even wider.
Well, you know what Bush did, and this is really slick how they do this. You know, there's the U.S. Labor Board, mm-hmm. and what they do is they put up ads for jobs.
Yeah.
And but the sleeper is that the jobs are only paying minimum wage for construction workers.
Oh, yeah.
And so then when no American, even nigger, wants to take the job, then he is okay to bring them in from other countries, Mexico. So that's how they're getting around everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because an American can't feed his family on minimum wage, it's okay for Bush to bring in hundreds of thousands of people from Mexico else. What? These guys are so goddamned evil. They're so evil, man.
But you got to remember, those Mexicans are fellow Christians.
Yeah.
And they're all equal in the eyes of the fucking Lord.
Oh, yeah, that fucking Lord, man. Well, guess what, Dr. Kallenberg?
What?
Well, the Krispy Kreme profits increased by 43%. The Krispy Kreme Donuts Incorporated reported a 43% rise in its third quarter profit, meeting Wall Street's expectation.
Sugar and lard sells.
Yeah, man, and they're getting fatter and fatter and fatter. And boy, I'll tell you, Krispy Kreme, man, I never ate any of that shit.
I had one, and I didn't like it. It was really rich. It's just I guess it's sugar and lard. Everybody praises them. You know, they praise them because everybody in the radio praises them. So therefore, the masses have to praise them.
Every time I think of one, I think of Cops.
Yeah, pig food. Yeah.
You know, do you ever watch Cops on TV?
Yeah.
You see how fat all those cops are.
Oh,
I mean, hardly any. I hardly ever seen a thin cop on Cops. And it's funny because they're out there trying to chase these niggers, and the niggers are,
Most
of the niggers are fairly good shape.
Yeah, doing coke and playing basketball.
And so they're running down the street, huffity-puffity, after these niggers.
You know?
That's, their revenue rose from $169.6 million, to $169.1 million from $129.1 million a year ago.
Whoa.
Man, Katie, boy, I'll tell you.
I didn't buy any of the stock.
None
of a fucking bit.
You screwed up.
I could have made money off of killing the masses.
Could have made money. It's good. You know, you got to invest in cigarette companies,
liquor
companies, Krispy Kreme companies, and like that to trim down the population.
That's true. And encourage them to send their products to the third world where they really need donuts and cigarettes.
I see the big cigarette companies like Philip Morris.
Yeah.
That they've dropped their price by 5% because they're getting a lot of competition from cut-rate cigarette companies.
Yeah.
And so I guess they made a lot more money now.
You know, I think, you know, all the sin tax and stuff, pretty soon it's going to be cheaper to smoke pot than it is cigarettes because, you know, the sin tax is raising the prices.
Isn't it now?
It probably is.
I figure it is, man.
It probably is. I don't know what an ounce of tobacco goes
through. The whole idea is stopping people from doing shit anyhow.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's one thing I disagree with.
Yeah, you can't regulate morality.
Ben Klassen, he wanted to, he had their mind right, but then he wanted to regulate the food and all that stuff. You can't do that stuff. And, people are going to do what they want. If they want to smoke, why do I care if they want to smoke pot? Do I recommend people smoking pot? No. But to make it illegal, and you see on the cops, they're raiding guys and getting, had a half a pound of pot. Oh, my God.
Oh, what's the latest thing? What is it, that diet supplement, that herb, or that was Ephedrine?
Something like that. Yeah.
Well, that's illegal. So all these people on diets now are going to be drug criminals so that the pigs can go after them and stuff. They're taking herbs that help them lose weight.
Well, you know what? Maybe 0.1% may have had problems with that. Most people, it didn't hurt them at all.
It was that athlete guy who took a whole bunch of it, and he had a heart attack because he was just like overdosed.
There you go.
It.
One sports star bites the dust, and boy, we got to get rid of that. Yeah.
You know, it's funny, they banned all the diet stuff, and they're pushing all the Krispy Kreme donuts. Yeah.
Boy, I'm telling you, this is a crazy-ass world.
Yeah.
Well, they're laying off people all over the country, and old Bushhead, that moron, keeps saying how great things are.
Mm-hmm.
They're laying them off by the thousands.
Oh, yeah. Plus they're moving all, like, all the service jobs, you know, like, you know, all these computer companies and stuff. When you call up service, you got to call India now and stuff. So.
Yeah, that's right. That they're doing that. And then Electrolux, they laid off a couple of thousand up there in Michigan, shipping it to Mexico. And here, Adobe Air lets 500 workers go. That's all you see in the papers anymore. But yet the president say, and the economy is getting better. You know why the economy is getting better? Because the stock market is getting better.
Oh, yeah.
And the investors that are a very small part of the money system are getting richer.
Mm-hmm.
They're not talking about average Americans. Yeah these rich guys are getting richer.
You know
what
a scam is? I was reading the paper that, you know, when, like, say, Hewlett Packard, when they used to have Americans do their service. Now they shipped it all to India. Like, when you call up this for a printer or anything, you got a problem, it's the Indians. But, you know, those are accounted as American jobs since an American-owned corporation pays those wages. Those are counted as jobs that the Bush administration has created.
What's the matter with the workers? I mean, if you put in, like a guy I heard on the radio, you put in 30 years of this company, and they're just going to kick him out on the street. Remember Rocky, that movie Stallone put together, Fist?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What the hell's wrong with people? I mean, why aren't they out there, you know, burning down the goddamn building?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, it's the same thing with...
Why aren't they getting labor hit squads to go across the border and torch those damn McLeodore plants?
Because the fucking labor unions are part of the system. You know, what gets me is all these people who are protesting all these shopping centers. Now, there's a big protest going on all over Southern California about Vons and Albertsons and stuff.
Yeah.
But the unions, they won't do a damn thing about illegal aliens. And all these, the thing is that
they're
all these,
signing them up.
They're signing them up because they're new union members, and they pay a union dues so the union officials can have new limousines. But then these workers are out there complaining and says, oh, our jobs are disappearing. They're disappearing because all the illegal aliens that the union guys are trying to recruit. So they're walking around protesting, but they're not addressing the real problem. The real problem is the illegal aliens. Or even legal aliens.
It's PC.
Yeah.
It's PC. They're chicken shit.
Yeah.
Most of the public are cowards.
Oh, yeah.
So the only way out of this is the small 1% that'll rise up and get the job done.
Yeah.
And, you know, it ain't going to be done in a nice way.
Oh, no.
The only way to get out of this mess is, you keep saying it, what is the solution?
A white revolutionary dictatorship or a meritocracy.
Well, I remember you used to say the Pol Pot solution.
That's true. Oh, that too.
I like that Pol Pot solution.
Yes.
That boy knew how to handle
Pol Pot. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that's what...
University of shovels and pickaxes.
Yeah, but if you're going to wait on the public to straighten this out, forget it. However, the problem is that the first line of defense, the first warriors on that throw themselves on the petards are going to die.
Yeah.
You know that.
Mm.
But at least they get one whack at it. I'm waiting. Well, I'm trying to figure out what the best buck I can get for the cluck or the cluck for the buck. Before they blow me to bits.
Well, you know what the joke of the University of Shovels and Pickaxes is?
What?
Is that the communists used to have a joke that all the intellectuals, that they're going to re-educate them and send them to the University of Shovels and Pickaxes.
Yeah.
What they did is they marched them out to the fields and they beat them to death with shovels and pickaxes. That was a re-education of the intellectuals.
Hey, man, that's getting pretty wild, but I think we may need some of that.
Yeah.
We're going to go to the calls.
Yes, let's go to the calls.
Let's do that.
Robert, out here in Cheyenne, as usual, you are like a breath of fresh air. You couldn't have said it any better than anyone else. Like I said, this thing, everybody's sitting there jumping up and down, beating their breath, and all getting all excited. But like I said, you are the lone voice of reason. Thanks, buddy.
Tommy, it's the White Lobster calling from Atlantic, Canada. And listen, Tommy, I was thinking you and the doc and everybody in the white nationalist movement should convert. We should become Jews. I mean, think about it. Dual passport, the right to rape, steal, cheat, and go to Israel, get free house, white man's money. Tell me where I got to sign up. I want you to tell me, Tommy, how do I become a Jew? If you can't beat them, let's join them. Let's get on the inside, and let's become Jews. Anyways, Tommy, keep up the good work. Come up and see us in Canada sometime. Good guy.
Well, I can't come to Canada because they won't let me in.
Yes. Got to sneak, be an illegal alien, sneak across the border.
They banned me from Canada.
Uh-oh. People's Republic of Canada.
They didn't like my speech. Yeah, so anyhow.
Sure you didn't do karaoke? That's why you didn't get banned?
No, well, I think I would have been accepted if I'd have sang karaoke. Yeah. Hey, there was a bunch of Canadians down here at a place where I sang karaoke about 2 months ago, and they were the ones who stood up and gave me an ovation.
Whoa.
Yeah, they were from Quebec.
Whoa.
The French guys. They liked me. Yeah, how about that?
I couldn't understand what you were saying.
No, they spoke English.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they did. Now, look, you can become a Jew anytime you want.
Mm-hmm.
What is this problem, becoming a Jew? You can join Christian Identity.
Yeah.
And that'll make you a pseudo-Jew.
No, you'd be the true Jew.
A true Jew, and not any of this monkey business.
Mm-hmm.
Or you look at any Jew paper, like the, I don't know, they've got these big ones on the West Coast and in New York City.
Yeah.
And in the back of these papers, they have these rabbis that will make you a Jew in
for a price.
One day.
Yeah.
There was one rabbi over in Phoenix. He'll make you a Jew in just a few hours.
Circumcise in 2 seconds.
In fact, I've got a certificate on my wall here someplace. There it is. That's, well, it's right up there where it says, save you, God can't even cure acne. But anyhow, underneath there's a certificate from the Universal Life Church that made me a rabbi.
Holy shit, so Rabbi Metzger.
I'm Rabbi Metzger. And, you know, old Harold Covington, we're glad to hear about that.
Yeah.
You know, but anyhow, I is a ordained rabbi from the church, Universal Church of what's happening now.
So you can migrate to Israel and
I should be able to go there and
open up a kibbutz.
Open up a TV shop maybe and just get right in there with my brethren.
Go there and sell bagels and lox.
But anyhow, I could not become a Jew, seriously, because then I'd be so pissed off at myself I'd want to gas myself.
That's true.
I mean, it would be a problem.
You could be a self-hating Jew.
Between my German background and the Jew thing, I would be wanting to commit suicide at the same time I oppressed me.
That's true.
How does that work out? I don't know.
It's the fail safe point. Exactly, what are you saying? Like, could go into detail? We appreciate it. Thanks.
Well, I mentioned failsafe because it's very descriptive of our problem, and I don't know. I personally think we're beyond failsafe right now, world population wise.
Oh yeah.
Will the white race be able to tribalize along with technology and survive as very vicious, cruel people towards the people around them, or will they just sink into the quicksand of the toyed world?
I think the biggest fear is that people will want to be loved and be accepted and will just sink into the third world.
Well, but that all gives an opening to the warrior class of the, you know, almost like the mob, the mafia, the, you know, and all that. And
well,
Attila the Hun and these guys, because that's inside us. A lot of it's inside us to be these warrior people.
Well, a warrior caste system is the only really true Aryan government. You know, because all these other governments we have are foreign governments. You know, even Greek democracy was, you know, Greek democracy wasn't anything like this shit. You know, they had slaves under Greek democracy, and they had a caste system under Greek democracy. And actually, it wasn't Greek democracy. It was only Athens democracy, because the Spartans completely hated it, and they were right. And Athens fell, and Sparta went on for a long time until basically they ran out of their elite warriors, or the elite warriors started getting killed in wars, and they dropped, and that's what happened to the Spartans. But, you know, Athens was a fucking mess. You know, they're fighting among you. Well, just like, you know, actually, it's just like the internet. They're always gossiping, fighting among each other, and lying and cheating and stuff. And so, like any true democracy, it's going to fall on its face because it puts the inferior people equal to the superior people. When you do that, all you do is bring down the superior people.
So, actually, we don't have as much to worry about as sometimes we think.
Yeah.
We just need a total house cleaning.
Oh, yeah.
By any means possible.
Need a purge.
So when Al-Qaeda and all these people, for whatever reason, want to purge, let them purge.
Yeah.
Because they're not hurting us.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not hurting me.
Yeah.
So let them do their worst. Now, and then when the time comes, we'll take care of them.
Yeah, just like food poisoning. When you have food poisoning, sometimes the only thing you can do is just go in the bathroom and purge, and that's what basically we have to do.
That's right, and we got to quit worrying about that we've had it. And in fact, being beyond failsafe is good.
Oh, yeah.
We want things to get so goddamn bad that you got no other choice, at least if you're a man or a warrior woman, is to stand up and fight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But don't fight fair. That's what I keep, you know, the right wing guys always want to fight fair.
Well, Marion, the analogy of the flu, America and the West in general is basically like somebody who has the flu, but for some reason he refuses to purge. So instead of getting all the poisons and toxins out of his body, he's trying to keep them in and stuff, and all it does is get sicker and sicker because all the poison is basically killing his body.
That makes a good analogy.
Yeah.
I like that.
So we need to go in the bathroom and vomit off all these coming out of the race.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that Saddam Hussein was the only leader in the entire world that ever had the guts to launch a missile assault on a filthy Jew scumbags in Israel back in 1991. 1488.
I think that young man don't like Jews in Israel.
Yeah, I remember that. We were at your house watching that on the television. And they were showing that, and they were showing pictures of all these Jews with their gas masks hiding in the basements and stuff like that. I remember
well,
that.
Well, yeah, but we had some of our associates were over there in Israel at the time manning those rockets.
Yeah.
And they saw the Scuds coming in, and the guy was on the cell phone talking to me. I was getting better than,
It
was better than CNN.
Yeah, here comes one.
He says there'd come another anti-Jew Scud in, man, you know. So that was pretty good. I liked that.
Yeah.
You're right. He's the only guy who had the balls to at least try.
Oh yeah, that's why they hate. That's why
the fear of
the
fear of Yahweh.
You notice how the Jews, like when they really truly hate somebody, they always mock him and ridicule him, like how they treated him like a whore.
Oh yeah,
the whole thing about delousing his beard.
Yeah.
That was a big thing. You got to show him out and run the comb through it because he's a filthy anti-Semite. He's got louse in his
and
beard.
And if they'd caught Hitler alive,
they
would have done big time to him.
Oh yeah,
yeah. That's why you never want to be taken alive. Well, I don't know. There's something strange about that thing. He had a gun, and we don't know what happened there. How do we know what happened?
Yeah. I think there's a lot more to it than we've been told.
I think so, too.
You know, it's even been suggested that even in the military, they suggested that actually that they had him. There's a story in the military that they captured him 3 months earlier, and that whole thing was just to set up him in the hole.
Yeah, I remember that,
too. It was just to disgrace him, like, oh, he's a coward that won't even fight, you know, like he had a gun and stuff. So, like I say, the Jews like to disgrace their enemies, so this whole thing about him not fighting. And why was he so disoriented? It's like he's on drugs or something.
Yeah.
You know, what would, sleeping in a hole, what would that make you, like, you're so, you know, you don't even know where you're at. So, something's going on.
There's something strange going on there. And, you know, the American press is totally
joined
at the hip with the Bushy people.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, the corporations, because Bush is
too stupid. Neoconservatives and stuff.
Yeah, so you can't believe anything you hear.
Oh, no, not
it's too bad, but you just can't believe it.
Yeah.
You know, I get more decent news out of, you know, it's strange, off the Canadian news service.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's some, they put on Arab stuff, and where you can hear, Al Jazeera and that, and you can get more of what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
This government talking about Nazi Germany?
Yeah.
Why, hell, the press is more restrictive here than it was then.
Oh, yeah. In America, you've got the freedom to talk as long as you don't be heard. You don't have the freedom to be heard. You can say something, and that's no problem. But if somebody hears you saying something, that's when you got the problem. Mm-hmm. Well, if it's too many people, that's when they'll come after you.
Well, now in Germany, you see, they're arresting and they're sending a ban to prison.
Oh, they are?
For 3 years or something because of the words in the music.
Uh-oh.
You know, that is really something, isn't it? You know, the Germans becoming the 1984 disciples.
Yeah.
And isn't it interesting that the banned words were insulting Jews?
Oh, yeah.
In other words, to insult Jews, even though you're in your own country, becomes this crime.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And then they say the Jews have no control.
Yeah.
Well, they don't if the non-Jews weren't so goddamn cowardly.
Oh, yeah.
At least some of those guys in Europe are speaking up, like the Italian leader, you know, except that so many of them say, well, I apologize, I apologize. We need people to stand up, hammer the Jews or anybody else, and not apologize, you know. They take notice that we never apologize, do we, Doctor?
No.
Hell no.
Terrible, Tommy. This is Paul out of North Carolina. Anyway, listen up. I made a disturbing discovery the other day. I work at a call center. I'm a operator for a directory assistance company, so I have access to pretty much all the numbers in the country. And I went to Washington, D.C., and I searched under government listings. I just typed in a few kike names, the stereotypical names, Levy, Horowitz, Rosenbaum, you know, things of that nature. And it seemed like every time I typed in one of those, it would just have just so many listings would come up. It was unbelievable. And these were all government officials that were coming up. And it was just unbelievable. There's probably so many that we just don't know of that aren't in the news, that aren't real, you know, big shots. But they're just, you know, still so many kikes in this government. It's unbelievable. I just wanted to share that with y'all. Thanks. 88.
Well, just read the biological Jew, that the parasite gathers around the anus of society.
Mm-hmm.
And the anus of society is where?
America.
Well, that not entirely, but Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
is the political anus.
Mm-hmm.
New York, San Francisco,
yeah.
Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
and places like that are the economic anus.
New York is economic
and
publishing.
Chicago and like that. And they gather around, like any parasite, the anus.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, then the secondary is the Negro, the nigger,
mm-hmm.
who then comes around the Jew,
mm-hmm.
Who is also around the anus.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the biological Jew that we have for sale.
Francis Mullen's book.
It's, $12, I think. But anyhow, that is the most descriptive.
Yeah.
It's only about 100 pages.
Yeah.
And that nails the Jew so, and every other parasite person, so well. It's the best thing that's ever been written.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, I'll tell you, if you haven't read The Biological Jew, you need to read it.
David McCaldin's Exiles from History is also pretty good. I like that a lot.
Oh, yeah, that is good. In fact,
yeah, read those two
I've
books.
I've got to
really
get
good.
That back on our list, too. I don't understand what happened to that, but we're going to have to get it back.
I've got a copy in my boxes somewhere.
Well, give me a copy of that, and we'll get it back on the list.
Yeah.
But, this, you know, there is this equation between the parasites in the animal world.
Mm-hmm.
Some parasites are part parasite
mm-hmm.
in the animal world, and then some are full parasite. Usually, in the animal world, the so-called parasite, he gives a little and gets a little. But the Jew don't give anything.
Mm-hmm.
He is a pure parasite.
Yeah.
And if you, how many Jews do you find in North Dakota?
Yeah, that's true.
How many Jews do you find in Montana?
Yeah.
And how many Jews in some of those places like that? No, because the excrement is not there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The finances, the money is not there. And they're always, look at Hollywood.
Oh, that's a shit.
It's like one big asshole,
oh, yeah.
you know. And they gather around always where the nutrients are.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the anus.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be classed as somebody who's into anal things, but I'm just telling you, that's the way the fucking thing runs.
Yes.
Well, yeah, it's all Freudian.
Oh, yeah.
It's all Jewish.
Yeah.
It's all Jewish. And look at this, how the Jews actually brought out this being anal retentive.
Well, that's what Carl Jung, you know, Carl Jung was Freud's most brightest student and stuff. And after a while, he just said that, you know, everything you say is just you analyze the Jews and you think that the Jews are every man. Just because the Jews have a Oedipus Rex complex, you think every man does. Just because the Jews are anal retentive, you think every man is. And he says that you're basically just a Jewish psychologist and you don't represent anybody but the Jews. And that was their big fight.
Cause, yeah.
Because he was saying that everything he was saying was just so disgusting and so sexual and has to do with you being potty trained or you wanting to fuck your mother and stuff. And he says that has nothing to do with any, not just the Aryan, but not any other race except the Jewish race. It doesn't have to anything to do with the Asians or anything, just the Jews.
The Jewish mindset.
Yeah, the Jewish mindset, yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, they have this thing about the toilet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Excrement.
Mm-hmm.
Looking up mom's dress.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All that shit is Jewish.
They want to kill their dad and fuck their mother.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, man. I think we got these Jews pretty well nailed here.
Terrible Tommy, this is Arnold speaking, and you have me all figured out. I'm a race-mixing, race traitor. I run with the Jews. How come nobody else figured me out except you, Terrible Tommy?
Well, it's pretty easy when you figure out Arnold, number one, sleeping with the enemy.
Oh, yeah.
The Kennedys.
Yeah, more
I mean, you know, those are Jew-loving bastards.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the fact that he brought in all these big corporation creeps
mm-hmm.
to be next to him, and they're no friend of the worker, that's
oh, no.
for sure.
And plus he makes his living off of Hollywood, and how can you be clean working for, you know, a Hollywood studio?
Yeah, and yeah, he can't be clean. And then what else? There's a whole bunch. Oh, yeah, and then he talked against his own father.
Oh, yeah.
And who was a Nazi, but his mentor was a kike.
Let me see. He wanted to kill his father and fuck his mother.
Yeah, probably, yeah. And that's the mentor got him into bodybuilding,
yeah.
Okay, because they hung out down by the river.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right, in Austria.
Yeah.
All these guys hanging out down by the river.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well.
Smoking dope.
That has connotations that, you know, in Germany, they used to say guys who hung out down by the river were faggots.
Oh, really?
You know, they looked upon that as being sort of faggotry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe it's not full-blown faggotry, but if you got guys hanging out semi-nude all the time, I mean, you may have a little bit of a problem.
Well, you know what they say about weightlifting, that the majority of the people who are into weightlifting are gay guys. They got all these pictures of these half-naked men lifting weights and stuff.
Well, when I first came to California, I had a buddy that was a weightlifter at the Muscle Beach gym.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in Santa Monica.
Yeah, it's a famous one.
And so we teamed up for a little bit. And he was not gay. He had a girlfriend and was very heterosexual. And I joined the Muscle Beach gym, but by then the faggots had gotten so bad on the beach
mm-hmm.
down in Venice, they had to move the club up on about 2nd Street, I think, in Santa Monica,
mm-hmm.
down underneath in a sort of a basement deal. Yeah. Well, I'm down there lifting, and all of a sudden all these guys are weird guys standing around staring at you.
Well, that's what I mean. I don't mean the guys who lift the weights, but the guys who's into watching weightlifting, staying. All these slim guys with their pressed Levi's and stuff watching him.
Yeah.
None of those guys are straight.
And they don't lift.
Yeah, they don't lift. They're all buggy whips that are just watching these guys.
And of course, I think
most of those guys are gay.
But I think some of these guys that lift sort of get turned on by it.
Yeah.
Oh, they want to be admired and all that stuff.
They got groupies.
Well, I didn't hang around at Muscle Beach too long, but I kept lifting from time to time. I've still got weights around here, but it's been quite a while since I've lifted them, I'll tell you that. Anyhow, Arnold's phone here in a $3 bill,
that's
he's not running this show. He's got a cadre of extremely wealthy people trying to make the corporations happy.
Yeah, trying not to rock the boat.
Yeah, so he's just going to be a figurehead like Ronald Reagan all the right wing thought he was great.
Oh, he was the one that opened a lot of immigration. He opened a lot of the immigration and stuff up.
Oh,
Reagan years.
And he was a big race mixer.
Oh, yeah.
And he lied about going to Europe in the army. Said he
oh, yeah.
You know, he never got out of Hollywood.
He never got out of Santa Monica. No, he was making movies out of Santa
Monica.
He only
made one good movie, and that was a bank robber movie.
Oh,
remember that one?
Did he make all those bongo movies with the orangutan?
You know,
Bongo Goes to Washington.
Yeah, stuff like that. But there was one good movie he made, and it's still out there. He's a bank robber.
Oh, really?
And he's pretty...
Is that The Killer?
Is
that based on Ernest Hemingway story?
I don't remember what the title was, but it's the only Ronald Reagan show I thought was any good.
Yeah.
But he was phony to $3.
I used to like Death Valley Days. He used to narrate it, didn't he?
Yeah, that's okay. But he said that if I would have had to use the California National Guard to integrate the schools, I would have done it.
Yeah.
So that tells you where he's coming from. And then he said... then he claimed he was over and saw the death camps in Germany.
Oh, yeah, and he never...
And he went on and on and on about it. He never was there.
Well, we printed that article in the war paper in the 80s and stuff. It was, yeah. He made it in the magazine that he was claiming that he went there and he never, they said they went through his record and found out that he never left Santa Monica.
No.
He was making propaganda films in the war.
Ronald Reagan, you know, and my friend Ken Stefkin wrote a book.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the rest of him, because he wrote the book, Where's the Rest of Me?
Yeah.
Because of the baseball background or something.
Yeah.
And Kent Stefkin really exposed him bad, mm-hmm. and the right wing didn't like that at all.
Yeah.
Kent Stefkin ended up hit and run driver, almost killed him, and he may be dead today. But he was a target for writing that book.
Oh yeah.
So all that bullshit about Ronald Reagan, the right wing can stuff it up their ass.
Oh yeah.
Hi, it's me from Arizona again, and I just wanted to tell you I agree with you wholeheartedly on what you said about this fucking wetbacks coming over here. I mean, the only way you're going to stop it is with violence. I mean, you sit there and write letters to your congressman and complain and protest and bitch him on. It's not going to do anything. That's not what a real Aryan brother does. That's a coward.
Well, you know what should be done?
I know.
The Teamsters, back when they had balls,
they
should get those semis, break through the border, go down there in that Macledore area and burn those fucking plants to the ground.
Well, you know, the thing is, when the Teamsters had balls is when they were run by the Mafia.
Yeah.
Now that the Kennedy kicked the Mafia out of the Teamsters, they're not worth a fuck.
That's right. Yeah. And what poor old Jimmy Hoffa got after Jimmy Hoffa was murdered.
Oh, yeah. That was basically the end of the Teamsters.
His son has been a joke.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, they had the balls back in the old days.
Oh, yeah.
If they knew that there were 500 plants down here within a few miles of the border, they were taking thousands and thousands of jobs from Americans.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we've got the answer to that. We'll make a raid and burn them to the goddamn ground.
Yeah.
You know, what's the problem?
Yeah.
You know, what's the problem?
Well, you know, all this stuff is, you know, the Kennedys were, Bobby Kennedy big and John Kennedy were big, getting the Mafia out of the unions and stuff. But once they got the Mafia out of the unions just stopped being worth anything.
Because the Mafia gave them muscle.
Whether you
like the Mafia or not, they had the guns, and they would take care of business.
You know, if it wasn't for the Mafia, it wouldn't be an American labor movement. Because, you know, all the really dirty stuff that was done by the mob, all the knocks and hits and the arson and everything.
That's why I watched Fist the other night.
Oh,
One of my favorite films. Because they were going nowhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they were just getting their ass kicked all the time by the man and the cops and everybody else. And so he brought the mob in, and you notice the Jew was trying to talk him out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's always trying, oh, we can do this peacefully. We can do this peacefully. Bullshit, we're losing. So he brought the mob.
You know, in real life, the Jew who would be telling the union guy we could do it peacefully, he'd be going to the capitalist saying, oh, I've got these people in my hand. Don't worry, I've got them in my hand.
Yeah.
You just make a donation to me and I'll make everything cool. I'm the peacemaker here.
That's right. Absolutely. That's right. Well, in the movie, that Judas Goat was even more the head of the union.
Yeah.
He was all head of the union out of Chicago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they had to run him off.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he was going to accuse Rocky of taking... selling out.
Yeah.
Well, he was already selling
out. Oh, yeah, getting ready to blackmail him,
Yeah, right. I recommend that film to everybody.
Oh, you know what? Another good union movie is Molly Maguire.
Well,
About the Irish miners and what was it, Virginia?
Yeah.
And stuff. But that was a damn good movie.
And Matuan.
Yeah, yeah.
Matuan.
Oh, that was good. Yeah, that was
Molly Maguire's and Matuan.
Yeah.
And
well, that's the best gunfight, that Matuan, the gunfight at the end when the sheriff, because that was like a real one, because, you know, in movies, you know, one guy shoots a bullet and hits a guy, but this was just total shootout. You know?
Yeah.
It's almost as good as that that recent cowboy movie, Open Range?
The Open Range.
Yeah, that was a damn good gunfight. That was realistic.
Yeah, because, you know, they weren't that good at shots.
Oh, no. Especially somebody shooting at you.
Yeah.
You're not going to be worth the shit, is it?
So if you want to know about the labor movement in this country, you watch Molly Maguire's, you watch Matuan, and you watch Fist.
Yeah.
And I can't think of any more right at the moment.
No, those are three really good ones.
Yeah, and give you an idea what's going on in this country, or used to. Your fathers and your grandfathers went into the streets with baseball bats against guns of Ford and all those people.
Well, you know, like
and they called them communists.
Anytime
they fought the big man, they called him a communist.
Oh, yeah. Or IWW, I won't work.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid in the oil fields, they had big strikes in the 20s and stuff, and they said, like, if anybody was a scab and stuff, you know, in the derricks, you know, how you you have the casing and stuff that goes up on a chain and stuff. They said all kinds of scabs had casing accidentally dropped on them. You know, some of those casings are like 3,000 pounds.
Wow.
You know, up 60 feet, drop on top of their head. A lot of scabs got killed after the strike was over.
They had it coming.
Their radio show looked up in the sky at the bird, it's a plane, now it's Superman. You know, project ahead to our adulthood over in Iraq. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird. No, it's two birds. Oh, the birds are crashing together. Black Hawk down, Black Hawk down. The Iraqi insurgency is beating Zog's technology. Take care. 1488.
Well, we had the same problem in Vietnam.
Oh, yeah.
Not we, because I was opposed to it. But the indigenous people are going to fight fanatically for their land.
Oh, yeah.
And even though they may have hated Saddam Hussein, he looks better to them than we do.
Than a foreign invader,
country, and they're being occupied, and anybody says they're not occupied is full of shit. Mm-hmm. The minute they started taking reverse flak, they should have left.
Mm-hmm.
But now they are stuck as an occupier, just like the Russians were.
You ever notice how the same people who say that America is not an occupying force in Iraq are the same people who say that America is not under invasion right now by the Third World?
Yeah.
You know, they both live this big lie.
That's right. And it's getting bigger and bigger.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Talk about...
We're not being invaded, and we are not an imperialistic occupational force.
I guess we are getting closer and closer to old 1984.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Big Brother.
You know,
Newspeak.
Yeah, Newspeak, yeah. Down the memory hole.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they marginalize us. You can't believe it. They marginalize us. And we might as well not exist.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you. Well, we'll kick their ass one of these times.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I ain't going to tell them when or how, but I am a potential terrorist.
Uh-oh.
You know that?
Oh.
I am a possible terrorist.
You are.
You know, you never know. And they never know.
I think with the Patriot Act, everybody's a potential terrorist.
I think so, too. We're all
I don't think there's anybody.
We're all unindictable terrorists.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Unindicted terrorists.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Tom, that was awful, man. That was fucking disgusting. All this pro-Israel lobby bullshit. Is there anything that us as Aryans can do? I fully understand the anti-Christian sentiment. I fucking have that for a long time. I've always known the Christians to be a bunch of fucking Jew lovers. But is there anything, any groups we can join to fight this bullshit? I mean, this is terrible, you know? Fucking, Well, Merry Yule anyway. Hopefully we can fucking get rid of these fucking Zog shits before they get rid of us. Sing Heil!
Well, we're all warriors.
Yeah.
We're all individual leaders, and we all have the ability to do whatever we decide to do. And so I would say the first thing to do is everywhere you go, badmouth Israel. Because in badmouthing Israel, you're badmouthing Washington. So there's no problem in speaking out publicly on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people may get pissed off, but I piss them off all the time.
Yeah, the funny thing you do is go on the Internet, a lot of these left-wing bulletin boards. If you actually understand the left-wing jargon and stuff, you can go on there and really knock. If you attack Zionism in Israel, you can really go to town and stuff. It just, you got to, you know, make sure you use the PC words and stuff. But I mean, there's a lot of stuff on the Internet. Especially a lot of the left is interesting. Is the only people really that on a large mass are attacking Israel.
Yeah. Now I. As I said on my news update, I went with my lady to see a show up at the casino a while back, and there were so goddamn many gooks in there you could hardly walk. It was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
They even had a special, like, gook food thing, and they were lined up for a block. And I'm telling you, I have gotten to the point where I just can't keep my mouth shut.
Yeah.
And I said, look at this shit, you know? You know, I didn't even say gook. I said, look at this shit. I can't believe this is going on. And so we got in line. We just wanted to get a cup of coffee at the next booth. And I said, you know, the only thing that's going to straighten this country out is a civil war. And I said loud enough, you could hear me for 20 feet around. And the white lady in front of us, she turned around with the biggest smile on her face.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
And then I went to walk around. We went to walk around to leave, and they had a goddamn menorah sitting in the corner. And I went up and grabbed the security card. I said, "Hey, we got a problem here." He said, "What's that, sir?" I said, "There's a goddamn menorah up here. What the hell's that doing? And where's the Christmas tree?" He said, "Well, we already took the Christmas trees down." I said, "Well, get that damn menorah out there and offend the shit out of me." Boy, his eyes got as big as 50 cent pieces. Yeah. I think he thought I was going to whack him. You know?
Oh, you know, what that guy was talking about, that show, that was wasn't it a British broadcast about Christian Zionists and how that they're the big lobby?
Yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of people on the internet don't know what you played on the phone.
Yeah, so. It's really horrible. Mm-hmm. Somebody sent me a show that I think might have been made in England, actually.
Yeah, it sounded English.
And it's about 45 minutes long, mm-hmm. and it's got all this Christian Jew crap and their big get-togethers and, "Oh, we got to fight for Israel."
Oh, yeah.
And they got the Christian broadcasting people say that we have millions and we control all the Christian radio and we're 100% with Israel and everything.
Yeah, it's about the neocons and the new conservatives is what they're uniting the fundamentalist Christians with the Jewish left. Because the Jewish liberals are getting upset with the left because they think that the American left is becoming too anti-Semitic. So they're quote unquote turning to the right to unite with the fundamentalist Christians.
The evangelicals.
The evangelical Christians.
And those Christians call themselves Christian Zionists.
Oh new Zionists.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they call themselves. When you take Jews from the left and Christians from the right, unite them together, they call them neocons. So the neoconservative movement, or the new conservative movement, is the big thing now in America.
Somehow I think way down the road that this may backfire.
Oh, I hope so.
A lot of these so-called Jewish intellectuals have said, "We don't think this is a real good idea." Because you know how nutsy those fundamentalists are. They could swing overnight.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so we'll have to see about it. If somebody wants a copy of that, I'll run them off a tape. And send me $10 and I'll run you off a copy of it. It's pretty nauseating.
Oh,
it's
pretty sickening. It'll make 45 minutes of Jesus freak kissing Jews' butts.
Totally Jew loving stuff.
Yeah,
I'm sick to my stomach having listened to that, but it was a great tape. I wanted to know where I could get a copy of that. Thank you.
Yeah, and that's the tape we just talked about the Christian Zionists that somebody sent to me. I don't remember who, but it's great. And like I say, for $10, including postage, I'll run you off a tape copy of it.
Oh,
God, by the time you get done listening to that, you're going to want to puke in your soup.
You will want to purge.
You will want to purge, and you'll probably want to purge the damn fundamentalist Christians more than the Jews.
Oh, yeah.
I get more offended by these Christians than I do the Jews anymore.
Their support to Israel is almost like a messiah. It's a messiah support because they believe that if they support Israel and that the Jews convert to Christianity, that Jesus Christ will come back. You know, that's what a lot of the fundamentalists believe.
You know, one thing about it, you know, there for a while, I think somebody had the idea and they were burning down churches.
Oh.
And all of a sudden the government said, "Well, it's going to be 40 years for burning down a church." And that's if nobody's in it.
Yeah.
So you see, they're scared to death to destroy their base in the fundamentalist Christians.
Yeah.
I don't know whether the niggers are quite as stupid about that as not. A lot of them are, but I don't think a lot of them are really that stupid.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think niggers are near as stupid as people have figured out to be. I think they're conniving. Mm-hmm. I think that they'll use sneaky tactics, and I think they want to get rid of the white race.
Well, I think that in some ways the niggers are a lot smarter than us because, look, they're a lot stronger than we are.
Yeah.
And all the guilt and white guilt and stuff they pushed, they made themselves stronger and they made us weaker. So who's the smartest race, you know?
Yeah, but actually I think the Jews and white liberals really spread it the most, and then the niggers just take advantage of it. But anyhow, they stopped that. There are not many Christian churches burning down anymore, but you know, I think nature hates churches.
Oh yeah,
because hurricanes and tornadoes.
Oh yeah, and mudslides. You got that
mudslides.
Those
they really target Christians. Oh yeah. You know, so I think that Nature. Mother Nature.
Mother Nature knows best.
Knows best, yes. Remember that old ad? It's not nice to fool Mother Nature.
Yeah.
I think we're at the end of the show there, Doctor. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from the center of irreverency and sedition and racism and anything else you can figure
out. Absolute motherfucking truth.
Okay.
Lord knows I am peaceful when I'm left alone. I've always been an eagle, been a while since I have flown. My claws are sharp as ever, so's my eagle eye. Something's gonna go to ground when the eagle flies. Lately I've heard rumors that the eagle may be lame. Just because I've been idle don't mean that I'm tame. You've jeopardized my freedom, my natural place to roost. I can fly when I have to. When you go to bed tonight, my feathers are all ruffled now. I'm ready for a fight. Just because I took a while to fly, I don't mean I don't care. When you feel the shadow crossing, the eagle's in the air. When you go to bed tonight, my feathers are all ruffled now. I'm ready for.